There will be a lot of different aspects to eternity in heaven, and living in the New Jerusalem is just one of them. Here's Skip Heitzig.
And what we have described is simply part of eternity. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's a city that comes out of heaven to the new earth. It's only part of it. It's not all of it. It is what is described. And Jesus promised us this. Remember, he said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Better translation is rooms. In fact, mansions has got to be the worst translation of all of that verse that I've ever seen, because think of it, it didn't even make sense in English. "In my Father's house are mansions." How do you have mansions inside of a house? Better translated, abiding places, spaces, rooms.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Every few years, magazines like Popular Science speculate on what future cities might look like. One of the more recent speculations included some guesses on how environmentally friendly and energy-saving technologies might be employed in future cities. Some ideas included high-rises with built-in wind generators, to homes with a thin coating of solar panels on the roof, to small, energy-efficient rental cars dispensed almost like strollers that use their own special lanes. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig is also going to share some insights on the city of the future. But the city he's going to talk about is unlike anything ever imagined in science or science fiction. We'll begin today's study in just a moment. But first, you can help us extend an invitation to people all around the world to Heaven City of the Future. And here's how.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro, and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar power. So those are, kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we hope you prayerfully consider becoming a Global Connector, and you can find out all about that at our website, connectionradio.org, or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. You know, when it comes to predicting the future, people aren't generally very good at it. The Bible, however, has a perfect record, so when it shares some hints about the city of the future, you can be sure they aren't mere guesses, but glimpses of what will actually exist. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. As you find your place, Skip Heitzig shares some of the nicknames for various cities.
Cities have nicknames. New York is called the Big Apple, Chicago the Windy City, New Orleans is the Big Easy, Albuquerque is the Duke City, Santa Fe the City Different, appropriately named. And then there is Jerusalem. A city set apart from all other cities. It's called the city of God, the city of the great king, the city of peace in the Bible. It has been called by others the city of the soul, or even the city of the book because of the Bible. The first time I visited Israel, and I've been there 18 times, the very first time it felt like home. And I remember when my wife saw Jerusalem for the very first time from the Mount of Olives, she wept. It's such a moving thing to see that city, the holy city of Jerusalem, where Jesus walked and where also he was crucified. Jerusalem really can't be compared with any other city, like Rio or Paris or Rome or New York or London. It is very different in a lot of ways. It is a place that Jesus visited. 7 times the Bible records that he visited Jerusalem, and yet with all of its earthly beauty and charm, one day he stood and wept over that city because he saw the future destruction of that city. And of course, not only was Jerusalem destroyed as Jesus predicted, but 36 times it's seen war. 17 times it has been reduced to ashes. 18 times it has risen from the ashes. And yet, it always seems to be on the brink of some catastrophe, some war. Every time we have a tour to Israel, somebody toward the end gets cold feet. I'm not going to go this time. I'm going to wait till things get better over there. Have they ever, that you remember? It's always on the brink of something. Jerusalem is the geographic center of the earth biblically. In the Bible, when it talks about north, south, east, west, it's always reference point is the city of Jerusalem. A map will show you that Israel and Jerusalem is on a land bridge that connects Africa, Europe, and Asia. God said in Ezekiel 5, "Behold, I have set Jerusalem in the midst of the nations and all of the nations round about her." Not only that, but it is the center of the earth spiritually. It's the salvation center. It's where Jesus was crucified. It's the only city on earth where Jesus was crucified, where the sins of the world were put upon the Son of God. It is also the storm center of the world prophetically. Every statesman, every world representative realizes that we better watch the Middle East, that what happens in Africa or even the Soviet bloc or even Eastern Europe won't cause or not cause world peace, but that Jerusalem is the center gem in what is at stake concerning world peace. Zechariah said, "I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples." And year by year, it's becoming that, isn't it? In the end times, we know that Jerusalem will be the very vortex of activity. But then also, and this is really where our study begins, Jerusalem is the glory center of the world ultimately. Jesus will rule and reign from Mount Zion in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. The nations, it says, will flow to Jerusalem. The law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Not only in the millennium, but then after the millennium, when a new heaven and a new earth are created, we see this new Jerusalem descending from heaven toward the new earth that God created. That's mentioned up in verse 2, and we pick up our study today in verse 9. Before we jump into it, though, let me just say that right now in Jerusalem, there is a kingless throne. It's called the throne of David. It hasn't been occupied for 2,500 years, even though God promised that somebody from the lineage of King David would sit upon the throne to rule and reign. There's a kingless throne in Jerusalem today, waiting to be occupied. Also today, in heaven, there's a throneless king, Jesus Christ. And when the kingless throne and the throneless king come together, and one day they will, that's where you will have utopia. That's where you will have millennium, and even after that, the new heaven and the new earth. And that's what we look at today. It's the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Today, we're going to look at verses 9 of chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 5. It is a pretty straightforward description. We don't have to give much comment on it. It's simply a description of this future city. It's described from the outside, and then it's described from the inside. And so we want to take a tour of this city. You say, how are we going to take a tour of heaven in this length of time, 30 minutes, 35 minutes? Well, listen, they do world news in 25 minutes. I think we can at least take some kind of an overview tour of this. As a reminder, at this point, the rapture has happened, the tribulation is over, the judgments are over, the millennium is over, and a new heaven and a new earth are created. And what we have described is simply part of eternity. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's a city that comes out of heaven to the new earth. It's only part of it. It's not all of it. It is what is described. And Jesus promised us this. Remember, he said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Better translation is rooms. In fact, mansions has got to be the worst translation of all of that verse that I've ever seen, because think of it, it didn't even make sense in English. In my Father's house are mansions. How do you have mansions inside of a house? Better translated, abiding places, spaces, rooms. And what is promised by Jesus in John 14 is described by John in this vision given to him from Jesus Christ. We get the description. Verse 9. First of all, we see the meaning of the city. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, we haven't seen him for 1,000 years, now he's back, filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, this is a strange way to describe a town, a city, as a bride, as a wife. We know that's a metaphor already. We know that that is a description of the people of God. So why is the city called the bride? Simply because it's described by the character of its occupants. This is the bride city. This is the place that Jesus has prepared for his people. He promised it, and now it is described. One of God's favorite names for you and for me is his bride. Isn't that a great term to describe people? Think of it. Marriage, the closest possible relationship on earth, at least it's supposed to be that way, is the very metaphor that God chose to describe his people. In other words, God wants intimacy. God doesn't want distance. The term the bride of Christ for God's people closes the gap that exists. So many people have a long-distance relationship with God. It's God at a distance. They don't even talk about God as my Lord, my Savior. It's always the good Lord. It's sort of a giveaway that there's a distance between that person and God. Well, the good Lord said in the good book, instead of my Lord, my Savior. God wants intimacy with his people. Back in verse 2, we see this. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. What kind of closeness are you enjoying with your Lord now? What kind of intimacy, what kind of day-by-day fellowship and walk do you have right now? Are you preparing for this time? Perhaps if Jesus could write you a personal letter, it might sound something like this. I had to write to tell you how much I love you and care for you. Yesterday I saw you walking and laughing with your friends. I hoped that soon you'd want me to walk along with you too. So I painted you a sunset to close your day and whispered a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited. You never called. I just kept on loving you. As I watched you fall asleep last night, I spilled moonlight onto your face, trickling down your cheeks as so many tears have. You didn't even think of me. I wanted so much to comfort you. The next day I exploded a brilliant sunrise into glorious morning for you. But you awoke late, rushed off to work, and you didn't even notice. My sky became cloudy and my tears were the rain. I love you. Oh, if you'd only listen. I really do love you. I try to say it in the quiet of the green meadow and in the blue sky. The wind whispers my love throughout the treetops and spills it into the vibrant colors of all the flowers. I shout it to you in the thunder of the great waterfalls and compose love songs for birds to sing for you. I warm you with the clothing of my sunshine and perfume the air with nature's sweet scent. My love for you is deeper than any ocean, greater than any need that is in your heart. If you'd only realize how I care. My dad sends his love. I want you to meet him. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please, call on me soon. No matter how long it takes, I'll wait because I love you, your friend, Jesus. He calls you his bride. And you know what's amazing to me? After 2,000 years of the church on the earth, after 2,000 years of watching us, he still calls us his bride. And he will call us his bride into eternity. I don't know too many husbands that would have that same romantic term for their wives years after they were married. I've watched marriages deteriorate. I've seen women referred to as the old lady or just her. God calls you his bride still on into eternity. 2 Corinthians 11, and this is in the Living Bible, this is what Paul says, reminding us that we're the bride of Christ. I am anxious for you with a deep concern of God himself, anxious that your love should be for Christ alone, just as a pure maiden reserves her love for one man only, for the one who will be her husband. Are you preparing for the bride city? Are you getting ready? Are you flirting with the world rather than loving Jesus only? Notice also this great Jerusalem is called the great city. I want you to just think about that. Your eternity will be corporate. It will be social. No getting off in a corner by yourself away from people. You are destined to live in a city with other people because God made us to be social creatures, to need one another, to be with each other. Also, this shows me that heaven, in the Bible sense, is a real place of real activity with real people. Not like the Hindu concept or the New Age concept of nirvana, where your soul fades and merges into one great soul. You will be busy. You will be traveling, no doubt. It's implied by these verses, and you will be serving him, it says in verse 3 of chapter 22. It says this great city is descending out of heaven. Now, that's the second time we read that. It's repeated from verse 2. Meaning, this is not a creation. This is a presentation of something that already exists. God makes new heaven, new earth, and then voila, out of God's heaven comes this descending city, the New Jerusalem. I think the New Jerusalem is the Father's house. It's what Jesus promised in John 14. I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, there has to have been a place already existing for him to go to and prepare. It would make sense then that this New Jerusalem is the Father's house, and that when you die now, you go in spirit to that place until it is presented in the eternal state. So it comes out of heaven. Some people see it as a satellite revolving around the new earth. Perhaps it does. Perhaps it fixes, settles into the new earth somehow, and it becomes permanent. We don't know. It'll be awesome, whatever it is. So that is the meaning of the city. Let's now look at the magnificence of it. Verse 11, it says, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The chief characteristic of this magnificent city is it has the glory of God. Nothing like that could be said of any town, city that we've ever seen on this earth. That's the overarching characteristic. It has the glory of God flashing into all places. And notice how John describes it. He says its light, or her light, was like a most precious stone. he chose a very interesting word, the word light, phoster, illuminator, illuminator. It describes something in which light is concentrated and from which light radiates, like a light bulb. It's not light shining on it, refracting or reflecting. It's light coming, originating from it. Let's move ahead to verse 23, chapter 21. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So, rather than the moon having the reflection of the sun, rather than the sun generating light by combustion, the source of light is the Lamb. It's God Himself, and it radiates into all of eternity. And John says, it looked to me like a precious stone. When I looked at it from afar, it's like this gem coming out of heaven, like jasper. When you think of jasper in modern terms, you think of an opaque, whitish-yellow kind of a stone, but ancient jasper, the Greek word jaspis, was crystal clear, probably referring to a diamond. That's what was so dazzling to John. It's like this huge, and I mean huge, we'll see in a minute, diamond descending out of heaven, coming to the earth, with walls and with gates and angels, but clear as crystal, this radiating, iridescent diamond.
The New Jerusalem is going to be an amazing city to live in, but it's not a city that's going to be open to just anyone. If you want to move there, the only moving company that can get you there is the company of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to move? If not, we can help you get ready by sharing with you what it means to have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Just call us at 1-800-922-1888 and let us explain to you how you can move into that great city of the future, the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. And that's going to wrap things up for today. But before we go, with Halloween almost here, we have a little insight to share with you about what's really going on the dark side.
The American culture is undergoing some very disturbing shifts in values. Listen to Steve Russo.
We've become so desensitized to violence and rudeness and wickedness, and it's all about what I can get for me. It's like we don't care. It's like there are no moral absolutes anymore.
How has the media's obsession with the occult contributed to this shift? In Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, learn how a fascination with movements like Wicca and overindulgence in all sorts of media is having a damaging effect on today's youth.
I've heard too many times kids and parents even telling me, well, you know, Twilight is about good vampires. He's a good vampire because he's a good-looking guy, and this is really a romance. Again, we have lost the concept of a holy God, a pure God, and we've totally, almost totally abandoned, in many cases, the significance of the blood of Christ.
Order Fear No Evil by Steve Russo for just $15 when you contact The Connection at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Our society, and especially our young people, are being misled by interest in the wrong kind of spiritualism. With Halloween right around the corner, it's time for the church to do something about it.
Halloween it's not going to go away. There are a couple different ways to approach it. One is completely ignore it and have nothing to do with it, and I think that's everybody has that the right to make that decision. I think it's foolish because it's a great opportunity to do evangelism, and that's the heart of the evangelist coming out of me.
Do you know someone fascinated with vampires, Wicca, and so-called nice witches? Well, they need to read Fear No Evil by Steve Russo. Order today for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Looking around at our culture today reveals there's a growing interest and fascination with things like Wicca and vampires. Hi, this is Skip Heitzig, and I hope you'll take advantage of this month's offer, Fear No Evil, so you can learn more about the truth behind these movements and figures of the occult. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-922-1888.
And when you order that book from Steve Russo, don't forget to pick up a copy of today's teaching from Skip. It's available for just $6, which includes shipping, when you call 1-800-922-1888. or when you visit connectionradio.org. This would be a great message to share with friends or family members who just aren't too sure about what the future holds for them. So order a copy today by calling 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Continue to explore the future Heavenly City on our next broadcast, so be sure to come back for the rest of the tour. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.